God, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we need to feel close to you, and we feel especially in your presence when we read your word. So as we turn now to your scripture this morning, please open our ears, our hearts, and our minds so that we will hear you speaking to each one of us. With the help of the Holy Spirit, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our Old Testament reading is from the final verses of Deuteronomy. The whole book contains words that Moses spoke to the Israelites as they were about to enter the Promised Land. As we enter the reading, Moses is at the end of his life, and he is passing the torch on to Joshua. Then Moses climbed Mount Nebo from the plains of Moab to the top of Pisgah, across from Jericho. There the Lord showed him the whole land, from Gilead to Dan, all of Naphtali, the territory of Ephraim and Manasseh, all the land of Judah as far as the Mediterranean Sea, the Negev, and the whole region from the valley of Jericho, the city of palms, as far as Zoar. Then the Lord said to him, "This is the land I promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob when I said, 'I will give it to your descendants.' I have let you see it with your eyes, but you will not cross over into it." And Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in Moab, as the Lord had said. He buried him in Moab in the valley opposite Beth Peor, but to this day no one knows where his grave is. Moses was 120 years old when he died, yet his eyes were not weak nor his strength gone. The Israelites grieved for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days until the time of weeping and mourning was over. Now Joshua, son of Nun, was filled with the spirit of wisdom because Moses had laid his hands on him. So the Israelites listened to him and did what the Lord had commanded Moses. Since then, no prophet has risen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, who did all those signs and wonders and the Lord sent him to do in Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all of his officials and to his whole land. For no one has ever shown the mighty power or performed the awesome deeds that Moses did in the sight of all of Israel. And our gospel lesson from Matthew is, we listen in on a discussion between Jesus and some of his opponents. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question: "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it: love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, "What do you think about the Messiah? Whose son is he?" "Son of David," they replied. He said to them, "How is it then that David, speaking by the Spirit, calls him Lord? For he says, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet.' If then David calls him Lord, how can he be his son?" No one could say a word in reply, and from that day on, no one dared to ask him any more questions. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And may God bless this reading and our hearing of his holy word. Well, today is Reformation Sunday, a day that we honor the great reformers of our faith: John Calvin in France, others, and perhaps most notable, Martin Luther in Germany. When Luther posted his 95 theses on the door of the Wittenberg Church on October 31st, 1517, 500 years almost to this very day, he signaled the beginning of the Protestant Reformation. But the origins of our Reformation go back even further, and our lectionary for today has taken us there. As Presbyterians, we read in the Book of Order that we are the church reformed, always to be reformed according to the word of God. Well, this morning, Let's take a step through time and look at some Reformation events guided by the Word of God and see how the Holy Spirit is nudging us to be reformers here in this time and place. Well, we begin in the Old Testament, where our scripture takes us to a mountaintop across from the Jordan River from Jericho. Moses is there, and he is looking out over at the Promised Land, the land promised to the Israelites by God, and a place that he will not enter. After wandering in the wilderness for 40 years, those who had first began the journey had died. There on the east bank of the Jordan River, Moses has prepared the next generation to receive the land promised to them. Moses was concerned that once in Canaan, the people of Israel would forget what God had done for them, go astray and worship pagan gods, and there were plenty of those to choose from. So Moses spent his last days reminding the people of the great works the Lord had done, how he had brought their ancestors out of 400 years of slavery, protected them in the wilderness, and had brought them to this very place. Moses urged the Israelites to remain faithful to God. Unfortunately, hindsight tells us that they would not heed that warning. But for now, Moses reminds them to keep their faith in God. His work done, Moses died. Moses, the one God chose to lead his people out of slavery, the reluctant shepherd who said to God, "Who am I to do this?" One who would not enter the Promised Land, and one of the greatest leaders, prophets, and reformers of the Old Testament. Reformed and always reforming according to the Word of God. Well, it would be more than 1,000 years before one greater than Moses would appear, and that brings us to our gospel lesson. As we listen in, Jesus is being questioned once again by the Pharisees. "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first. And the second, love your neighbor as yourself." Jesus goes back to Hebrew law to respond with words he would have learned as a boy, words that Moses spoke to the Israelites as they were about to enter the Promised Land. Jesus quoted Deuteronomy 6:5, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength." And Leviticus 19:18, "Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people, but love your neighbor as yourself." Jesus said, "All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." So Jesus summarized the whole of Scripture, the Word of God, into these two commandments: love God and love your neighbors. Reformed and always reforming according to the Word of God. Well, it would be more than 1,000 years before the forefather of the Protestant Reformation would rise from the rubble of a corrupt, organized religion. Martin Luther was Catholic, and he became disgusted with the sale of indulgences by the church to help build St. Peter's Basilica. Indulgences were money paid by rich and poor alike to be absolved from all punishments and to be granted salvation. First, Luther wrote, "Why does the Pope, whose wealth today is greater than the wealth of the richest Roman general, build the Basilica of St. Peter with the money of poor believers rather than with his own money?" Furthermore, Luther said selling indulgences was wrong because forgiveness and salvation couldn't be earned or bought. They were God's alone to grant. Well, it was the custom at Wittenberg University to post ideas for discussion. So Luther posted 95 ideas on the door of the church, hoping to start a dialogue and challenge the Pope's authority by pointing out that the Bible is the only source of divinely revealed knowledge from God. Martin Luther was hoping to reform the Catholic Church. Instead, he was excommunicated, and the stage was set for the formation of our Protestant faith. Reformed and always reforming according to the Word of God. Well, it would be over 400 years before a namesake of Martin Luther would attempt reform here on American soil. It was the spring of 1968, and Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was heavily involved with organizing what was known as the Poor People's Campaign. But in the midst of that, he took time off to travel to Memphis to lead a demonstration in support of higher wages for garbage collectors in that city. At a rally on April 3rd, the day before he was gunned down on that motel balcony, he went back to the story of Moses as he spoke. "I don't know what will happen to me. We have difficult days ahead, but it doesn't matter with me because I've been to the mountaintop. Like anyone else, I want to live a long life, but I'm not concerned with that. I just want to do God's will, and He has allowed me to go up to the mountain. I see the promised land. I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord." Well, Dr. King died outside the promised land of racial justice. Just like Moses, he could see the promise, but he would never get there himself. Reformed and always reforming, according to the Word of God. Well, in June of 1983, our denomination voted to reform and unite the Northern and Southern Presbyterian churches. They were separated since the Civil War. The Reverend Dr. David Leninger began his ministry at the Liberty Hill Presbyterian Church, a tiny rural town in South Carolina. It was the typical Old South, large antebellum homes interspersed with unpainted shacks. In 1983, there was still little mixing between the blacks and the whites. Prior to the Civil War, Liberty Hill had been a thriving community with active plantations all around producing various agricultural products. And there were stores, a doctor's office, a library, and a school. But after the Civil War, Liberty Hill was left desolate, and it never really recovered, according to the white population. There were two churches in Liberty Hill, one black, one white, both Presbyterian, sitting 300 yards from one another, separated by a cemetery, some trees, and a racial cultural gulf that was wider than any ocean. The white congregation was founded in 1851 and was affiliated with the Southern Presbyterian Church. The black congregation was founded after the war in 1873 during Reconstruction, and it was affiliated with the Northern Presbyterian Church. After the historic vote in Atlanta that reunited the Presbyterians in the North and South, Reverend Leninger and members of his session decided to get to know members from the other church. They had had absolutely no contact with them up to this point. Pastor Moore of the black church lived almost an hour from Liberty Hill and was totally blind. But he and Reverend Leninger finally met. They talked for over an hour in Reverend Leninger's living room about their reunion, the community, the churches, and what they might do together. Finally, near the end of the visit, Pastor Moore said, "You know they'll come after you, don't you?" "They? What do you mean?" "The Klan. They won't come after me. I'm a poor old blind preacher." "But you're young. You have a family. Have you thought about them?" Reverend Leninger remembers, "I had not. It was 1983, and I knew that the Klan was still alive and well in our part of the South, but it hadn't occurred to me that two tiny congregations in an obscure little village wanting to worship together would attract their attention." I finally said, "I'm not into pain, either for myself or my family, but I have to say that if I've ever been called upon to die for a cause, I can't think of a better one than this, and I meant it." So, on a Sunday in December, individuals from both congregations finally worshiped together. Reverend Leninger remembers, "You could feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. It was incredible. Tears were shed. A miracle had taken place." Then in February, we celebrated Holy Communion with members from both congregations distributing the elements, the first time black and white Christians had ever come together to the Lord's table in Liberty Hill. Those were special, spirit-filled days. Of course, there were a few hate-filled phone calls and a couple of nasty letters from people outside the community. There were even complaints from within about the damage that would occur to the sanctuary if we let blacks in. One white lady even refused to partake of bread or juice that had been carried by black hands. No, it was not perfect, but it was a beginning. 30 years later, in 2013, Reverend Leninger was asked how reform was going in Liberty Hill. He responded, "I would love to say that time has finally been able to heal the old racial wounds of these two congregations and that they are one, but I cannot. There is still a way to go. But we have had a foretaste of what can be and will be when the gospel is actually lived." October 29th, 2017. As Christians in our world today, we desperately want to do God's work, to make a world without war, hunger, poverty, oppression, disrespect, racism, hatred. But when that doesn't happen, despite our efforts, we feel that the promised land is impossible to reach. At times, we feel it's quite beyond hope. And it's then that we must remember Moses, Jesus Christ, Martin Luther King Jr., Reverend Leninger, and all the others. We must remember that the challenge of being one of God's reformers is not to solve all the world's problems by the end of our time, but to remain faithful at any cost, faithful to living and reforming according to the word of God. In Hebrews 11:13, we read, "All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. They were longing for a better country, a heavenly one." We too are longing. But here in this church and in our lives, we have seen what can be and will be when the gospel is actually lived. So may we continue doing what God has put us here to do, and with the help of the Holy Spirit, remain faithful to the word of God until we all meet again with all those reformers before us in the promised land, where we will hear God's words, "Well done, good and faithful servants, well done." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for all the great reformers of our past who have made it possible for us to be here together this morning. Help us to continue your reformation using your word as a guide to live the lives you have chosen for each one of us. And help us to be the role models for those who will be your church here on earth long after we have gone to live our eternal lives with you. Gracious God, we thank you for the privilege of coming into your presence this morning to praise, honor, and thank you for the gift of salvation by your grace alone through your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for the work you have given us here to do in your name. We thank you for this church here in Lewistown, for all the folks who have ever come through these doors to worship you here, the charter members, all who have helped build this church, all the children who have been baptized here, all the folks married here, all here this morning serving you. And we thank you for the blessings you have bestowed upon us here. We stand on the shoulders of some great reformers who lived their lives faithfully serving you here and are now in heaven above. Heavenly Father, we pray for those on our prayer list, those who are struggling with addictions, those who need your love in their lives, those with health concerns, all the families who are bearing this with them, those who are traveling, Reverend Thomas and all the others, those who are in homes that are not their own, and the caretakers who take care of them. Dear God, we pray for all those who are not with us today and especially need to feel your presence. We also ask your blessings and help to be with those who have suffered in Texas and Florida, Puerto Rico, out west, all over. All those who have been hit so hard by recent hurricanes and earthquakes and storms and crime. Those who have lost family, homes, those who feel hopeless and are overwhelmed. Please be with them. And please be with those who are on the ground helping those provide for their needs. We ask you to be with Scott Andrews and his crew, who is now working in Houston and helping the people there. Please help them to be safe and bring them home safely. Almighty God, we ask your blessings upon the families of this week, all the children and young adults in this church and community, all grandchildren and relatives of ours, all these young folks, and their parents and their grandparents, adults and teachers who have felt the call to help them to grow up knowing you. Heavenly Father, we also pray for our troops all over your world, those men and women who have served, those who have survived wars, and the families and loved ones of those who did not. We pray for our policemen and women, our country, our president, all our leaders in government, our churches, our schools, our communities. Dear God, we ask your presence and guidance for all churches in our presbytery and beyond. We pray for our mission partners, and we especially pray for your church right here in Lewistown, all who lead, and Reverend Thomas. Inspire and guide him and each one of us to continue to serve you here and now. Dear God, help each one of us to do our best to make our part of the world more like your kingdom. And in all we do, may be it according to your holy word. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord and Savior, we pray using his words. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. The word of God. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbors as yourself. And may the love of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all and give us peace. Amen.